All right, I'd like to call the March meeting of the Eastern Lancaster County School Board to order. I'd like to welcome everybody that came out tonight. Felt a need to get this in, and the way things transpire today, it's a good thing we are going forward and not postponing in another week or two. At this before we met tonight, we had an executive session before the meeting dealing with personnel and legal matters. All right, at this time, this will be a first, I think. Brian Conroy is scheduled to lead the moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance, and I believe there will be a delay when he speaks to us. Brian?
Please, if you can, stand for a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Yep.
All right, we have the agenda before us. Are there any modifications to the agenda?
Mr. President, yes, we do have a modification. We're adding a resolution regarding the operation of the school district for the foreseeable future, given the 10-day suspension of all school activities by the governor. So there's an additional resolution on the agenda that wasn't there earlier today. There will be two other items we need to discuss as well. And I'll include that in the superintendent's report, just a discussion about our food distribution to our students and also the potential for some type of online learning. We'll add those items to the superintendent's report towards the end of the agenda. Thank you.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as modified?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, at this time, we have time for citizens' comments. We have one individual that would like to speak to the board. When you come forward, state your name and your address. And Rick Narano is the first and only person tonight.
Good evening. My name is Rick Narano at 2571 Valley View Road, Morgantown, Carnarvon Township, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Good evening. Mm-hmm. I'd like to address the board in the form of a prayer, if you would permit me to do so. And so I will pray for us. Lord, we have to come to you today. What an eventful day, Lord. Yet we know that you are in control. I just want to thank you for this board, for each member of the board who has given their time to help lead us, to lead this school, and in a sense, lead this community in a direction during difficult and troublesome times, Lord. Be with them. Give them your wisdom to make good decisions, Lord. Let the board be a source of cohesion, a source of unity within the community, so that people will shed fear and replace it with a desire to help each other out, to come together, Lord. During this time of disease and difficulty. So thanks, Lord. And again, thanks for each one of these, and I lift them up and pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, at this time we have the consent agenda. I didn't see anything under the person. There's no personnel in this agenda. Do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
So moved.
Been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
And second, is there any further discussion on the consent agenda? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to action items. Maybe I'll pass that over to Bob.
Yeah, I'll start. So this is the culmination and fruition of about a year's worth of planning. We started About this time last year, maybe a month or two longer than that, trying to solve our student privacy issues. Tonight, I am pleased to bring to you the final action that will carry us forward for making our school safer for all of our learners. In a moment, I'll turn it over to Mr. Ramsey and Mr. Walsh, but I think it's worth noting that in general, we're pleased with the contractors who will be assisting us and doing the work. We have good relationships with the ones that that were awarded. The other thing that's worth noting is that the bids came in a little over $700,000 less than estimated, so that was a good sign. And that includes taking the alternates, and I'll turn that part of the conversation over to Mr. Ramsey or Mr. Walsh. I know there is a need for explanation specifically with the lighting package and why we did that the way we did it. But I will say that the bid, we are including the piece where we will fix all of the flooring. At one point, there was a cheaper version to just keep the floors, the gray concrete, like exists presently outside the new gymnasium. But we have gotten such a good price that we will use the composite resin throughout all of the spaces to really tie that space together. The contractors are pretty excited about that too, because they can be a little bit more sloppy and fast with their saw cuts and where they're tearing up the floor. It'll actually look a lot better. So that's one of the alternates that we're saying we should take. The others are self-explanatory, with the exception of the lighting package. And I'll turn that over directly to you to explain sort of the rationale behind that.
Would you like to show the lighting package so you can see the number?
Do you have the lighting pack? Do we have that? Wait, where is it, Neil?
Well,
got it?
No, it's not included in there. These are the alternates that we are recommending.
Okay, right.
So basically,
explain
what
the process?
So basically, what we opened the bids, and these are the and I can kind of go through this one right here. This is the one for the general construction. We'll get to the lighting when we get to the electrical. These are the base bid is $3,055,000. We are recommending alternate number one, which is to replace the bleachers in the old gym. And because we're recommending that, you will also see under the electrical, you will see an alternate for basically electrifying them to operate remotely. The GC2, the additional flooring, Dr. Hollister did speak to that, of putting that resident flooring in other areas where it will help them from, because they're going to be saw cutting a lot of the concrete. This will make it just a nicer finish throughout the school. The other one is to remove the gymnasium flooring. That was an alternate deduct, basically taking out, resurfacing that gym floor so that we can look at some other alternatives to the actual condition of the floor and those types of things. So we are recommending that you accept the base bid with those alternates, and the total amount that we would award to ECI for the general construction is $3,133,900.
Just one note, the bleacher replacement does shrink the number of seats that will be available in the old gymnasium where we're making this change. Do we have that number, the difference, Neil? Do you know the difference? It was like... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We have to make those new bleachers handicap accessible.
Right.
The old ones are not code.
Right.
Do we often use the 600 seat? We don't. Okay. Noted. Thank you.
Do we have to replace the old bleachers? Is it just because they're not handicap accessible, or is there a reason behind this?
Go ahead.
Well, part of it is you do leave yourself liability when you're using something that is not up to a current.
Can I just stop you real quick? Can you go up to the microphone? Because Brian won't be able to hear you on the telephone.
Yeah, that's something I should. Jeff had asked me to announce that everybody speak clearly into their microphone. That was a mistake on my part.
Yeah, so we would definitely recommend putting the new bleachers in. It brings them up the code. It automates them. They have already been renovated twice since we've been here. And, since they were put in, I guess, Tom, 1956 or 57.
Yeah, in the beginning of the high school.
And they are – they're really not – there's no handrails and no steps for that matter. So, I mean, when you go and you sit in the bleachers, you're walking up the actual seats. In the main gym, you're walking up steps and going to your seat with handrails. So it is, even though they're grandfathered, it is a question of if somebody would fall, hurt themselves, there could be a liability there. And the other thing is they're also not electrified. They're tough to get in and out.
So even though they're grandfathered, we are open to liabilities if someone would fall? Or because
somebody
their grandfather were okay?
Somebody would probably ask that question. Why did you go through 2-3 renovations and you didn't upgrade them? Okay.
Thank you. I have a quick question.
You're
moving the gymnasium floor, that doesn't include, like, new gym floor, like we've been talking about.
So the gymnasium flooring, we had originally planned to resurface that prior to we knew about the concern about the compaction or the bounce. So because we already had put the bids out when that came out, we had to do this just a little bit differently. So it's a deduct, meaning it's a credit, and we're not going to do anything with the gym floor until we – as last week, we voted to investigate it and come up with 3 remediation offers, 3 ways to
yeah, so that would be a different.
Totally different, totally different vote, thing. Totally different time, not ready to do that now. We're okay. Basically saying no point in refinishing the floor if we may do something with it later.
Really, that number represents what you may be willing to throw away if you decide to fix the floor in the way that people are suggesting. Because it doesn't make any sense to refinish it and then tear it up.
Is there any issues with the old gym floor that we should wait to do the bleachers until that floor is fixed?
Well, that floor doesn't need to be fixed because that's actually the baseline that they're using. They want the
new, they want what's in the old
they
gym
want what's
in the
in
new
the
gym.
Old gym.
Copy
that's,
that.
That's
I just want to make sure we didn't put bleachers in it and have to take them out to refinish the floor. So,
right.
Cool.
According
Thank
to
you.
Nate Musselman, that one's the Holy Grail.
In talking
with
to
going to that point, if I could ask a quick question also on the old gym with the replacement of those bleachers, knowing that it decreases the number of people, does that increase a safety in having basketball games in that gym as we move forward in case people wanted to play in there while the other gym was either being redone or something like that?
I don't believe it would because a safety issue. All it would be is when they're at their maximum capacity, we wouldn't let any more people in. It's also going to allow people with wheelchairs to come in and be in a safe area. When we put handicapped individuals in the old gym with the current bleachers, we were actually putting them in an area where it could jeopardize. They're almost on top of the lines. So I don't see a safety issue, but... We wouldn't have people standing like we did. Exactly.
Yeah, so with that, Jim, if in fact the board would take action to do that, we would try to do it in the summertime when we wouldn't be affecting indoor crowds. But, yeah, absolutely. If for some reason we had to fix the main gym floor during basketball season, the crowd would be cut. We would have to limit the number of people going in there. But we can plan for that, and I don't think it'll be an issue.
Do we hold big events in those gyms? Because when the last time we had a meeting, it sounded to me, and I don't know if this is correct, but it sounded to me from the people speaking that we are no longer holding events where we'd even use the bleachers in the old gym. In fact, one person said we would like to hold our basketball games there, and we're not because we were told we can't. So they're all holding all the events where you would really need a crowd in the new gym. Are there even events being held in the old gym?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are lots of – both gyms are used all the time. If it's not our students, it's the junior leagues and the other leagues. There's both – actually, all three gyms are being used regularly.
And an example would be if we were playing volleyball in the big gym and there was a middle school basketball game, the middle school would be playing in the old gym.
So just so I'm clear, the old gym is being used at capacity. I'm not questioning. I'm just saying, based on the people that were speaking the past couple of weeks, it sounded like they wanted to use the old gym, and it was just sitting. I mean, that just might be my interpretation, but it sounded to me like they were saying it was sitting there and it wasn't being used, and they would rather use it. So it is being used.
Absolutely.
Other questions, comments, concerns, anything else that you need to explain? Mr. Ramsey, you want to keep going there? Talk about anything else? Plumbing, electrical?
Are we going to take these all at one time or individually?
It's up to the board.
Yeah.
I think we should. Are you, the board okay taking them all at one time?
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
All right, good.
It's all one project, so.
Moving into the next two items, when you look at the HVAC and the plumbing construction, there are no alternates for those two. Therefore, we are recommending to award the HVAC construction to Myco Mechanical for $2,457,000, and for the plumbing, same Myco Mechanical for $943,000. We are currently working with this company with our auditorium project with the HVAC. We're very happy with them to date. So we will be asking for a motion to approve those two contracts. The last one is the electrical. We are recommending the base bid of $1,711,700 to Hernize and Electrical. We are also recommending, as I reported on the general construction, the $5,000 to electrify the bleachers in the old gym. The one alternate that we are not recommending is the lighting package. Basically, what that is, we spec'd the lighting control system that we wanted, that we currently use. The alternate bid was the approved equal, so it was in essence trying to keep the contractors honest, if you will. We are getting the lighting controls. We are getting the lighting controls that we want. We were just making sure that if there was an approved equal that would have given us, quote, a lower price, then we could kind of talk about it. But actually, their approved equal was $75,000 more. So we are getting the base bid of the basically the lighting controls we want. Did I explain that okay, Mr. Walsh? Okay, thank you. So we are recommending that you award the base bid, as I said, of $1,711,700 and only accept the one electrical EC1, which is the bleacher replacement, adding $5,000. The total award for that would be $1,716,700. Any questions on any of that at all? I know the architect has worked with a lot of these companies and are pleased with what with the bidders.
Mr. Ramsey, what was the overall bid spread
in regards to where the estimates were?
Lowest bidder to highest bidder for the complete renovation?
I can get that for you. I don't have it.
Okay. I was just curious if there was a tight grouping, or I can't recall.
Let me just, if you will, for a minute here, let me just kind of go through. So in other words, for the electrical, we only had one bidder. Mm-hmm. That was Hernizen. For the plumbing, we had two bidders, Myco Mechanical, and we had Commercial Mechanical Construction. That was about a $55,000 spread in that area. HVAC, from lowest to highest, we had about a $241,000 spread in the HVAC. So we're right there about $300,000. And under the general, the high bidder, just on the base bids, the highest bidder was $820,000. So you're a little over $1.1 million between highest and lowest on the base bid side.
Okay, thank you.
And again, I'll just kind of repeat that when you look at our total estimate compared to, we're about little over about 9% under what was estimated, which is great in this current market.
And to refresh everyone's mind, when we vote on and approve it, when would construction start?
I would say right now, what'll happen is they will, we will award the bids. They'll send letter of intent to continue. We'll get the contracts. We'll have to get some bonding from them and everything else. I would say until they mobilize and get started, what do you think, Neil, about 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, if they can do it sooner, we're gonna execute these agreements as quick as we can, so we're not holding them up. So the sooner we can get them started, the better, and hopefully depending on what's going on, we'll see. But we'll keep you apprised of what's happening.
Do these bids include any sort of contingency or oops fund or something?
Yeah, it includes about $455,000 of contingencies. And for those board members, typically, the companies are bidding on what's in the specs. With every project, things happen when they take down a wall or they see unforeseen circumstances that they need to do something with. We have about $450,000 in, quote, contingency.
Spread out across all three of them?
Yes, correct, correct.
Any other further questions? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. It's been properly moved and seconded that we accept what was put before us here. Is there any further discussion?
Could you just clarify what exactly we'd be approving? I'm sorry, I just got a little bit confused here with the different.
We'd be approving all the, was the three or four items we had listed there with the deducts and everything that's listed there.
Jack, so that includes a whole lot of HVAC, just in layman's terms.
Okay, is that what you want? Okay.
Let's do it that way.
No, okay. I was listening by Jack
and he said that's different. Sorry, go ahead. No, it's a whole lot of HVAC throughout the entire secondary campus, middle school, high school, hallways, gymnasiums. This is adding air conditioning to spaces that weren't previously air conditioned. The locker rooms weren't air conditioned before, which we heard a lot about from coaches and players. The old gym was not air conditioned previously. We're adding all those spaces to be air conditioned that weren't before. It includes the locker room renovations to do the personalized shower and changing spaces. It includes storage space built on the northern side of the old gymnasium. That'll be a large storage space that's not there presently. So it's comprehensive of all of those renovations, plus we are saying yes to a new bleachers in the old gym, and we're saying yes to the composite floor throughout the renovation, in layman's terms.
Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions?
Just for clarity, we were planning to spend the money on the HVAC anyway, correct? I just want to make sure we're clear that was part of our long-term plan that we had talked about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, so it's been 3 years now already, believe it or not. And by the way, we're going to bring those documents back to the board. We were going to do that sometime in the near future, but we'll have to see how everything plays out. Just to remind new board members and or to inform new board members and remind older board members about those expenditures, we had a district-wide facility study done 3 years ago, and at that time, we needed, if I recall, roughly it was about $8 million worth of HVAC needed to be done on the secondary campus, and that was before we included the new spaces. Correct. So really, the HVAC is a huge chunk of this expenditure.
Just want to make sure the headlines tomorrow isn't.
Yeah, we can talk to the Lancaster newspaper representative.
Yes, that's what I like to hear. Thank you.
He's the only person who's not a district member here. So let's just make sure he gets to his car safely, everybody.
Making sure we were clear.
I didn't actually say that.
No pressure, Kyle. It's going to be about 15 phone calls, though, if it's leading the wrong way. So, yeah, that's where we are. So the HVAC is a huge part of this.
And going forth, Jackie, there'll be, like I know Neil's, there's also some of our schools like Blue Ball is getting out there 20 years. There's certain things that have to start to, you know, we get to about the 15 to 20 year range, certain things start to have to get looked at again. So.
And even when you're done here, you're not done here.
Oh, yes.
Because there's things that still will need to be addressed later. Like the parking lots, possibly the roof down the road. Mm-hmm. So you're not cleaning it all up. You're hitting 90% of it, but you don't want to think this is going to be going away.
It's just like your home on a bigger scale. Things that you know are coming up and things you didn't think were going to happen. So basically, that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I rent for a reason, but just throwing this out there is going to be the probably the not very favorable question with what we have going on right now in the world and everything with COVID-16 or whatever. I just want to ask, we're still, as a board, considering that this is a good financial move, considering all that is going on. That's just a thought.
I mean,
16 is COVID-19.
Yeah, my thought would be this is probably, when we're finished, will be better for students in terms of their safety because they'll have individual changing places that will be cleaned every single day. I think ultimately this makes it a little bit safer, the heating and ventilation that they'll have in each of the units. As I've said to the board, we do got to put a governor on our spending. I think really physical plant spending should be with capital reserve funds and any funds we can put into the capital reserve. I don't think we should raise taxes to do physical plant stuff. And I think that should be the governor we impose on ourselves, knowing, too, that our debt falls off in a few years. And that money could, too, be put towards capital investments, which we'll need. But I don't want to raise that base tax increase for facility needs. We'll raise it for other needs, which we have. But my thinking is you don't do a renovation to your house till you have the money in hand, typically. And that's sort of how I'd like to govern ourselves, because it's easy to spend, you know, other people's money. So we want to make sure we do that appropriately.
And I think, I don't know how many building projects, significant building projects I've been on the board. It's been at least probably 6 to 8 of them at least. And one thing that our board, all the boards, the people that come before me while I was on and all the ones I've served with, it's we've done what was absolutely necessary at the time. And if there's something like a wish, we delayed it a little bit till we were in a better financial position and took what was sometimes it was a tough decision in some things. So, but ultimately, a lot of them got done later, but we did what was most pressing at the time. And that's why we are in the financial position we are today. We were very frugal in how we used our funds.
No, I think we're in a great position financially. My question was just, you know, you look at the news, you see the stock market crashing, you see the low numbers. I am just throwing that out there. If we still all think this is a good time to build or invest the money that way with just what's going on globally, not necessarily. I mean, I completely agree with how financially, I guess, responsible the board has been over the past couple of years. Just throwing that out, making sure that we're continuing in that line of responsibility with the way, you know, the economy is.
Well, and I understand. I know because I think it was around 2008. I forget what renovations we were going through at the time. There was a lot of uncertainty with the financial crash there around 2008. But we put together a good package, and we came out. Obviously, we came out of that in good shape. So I used to say you had to have faith, but that's what it amounts to. Is there any further?
All of this will come out of the capital reserve fund that we do? Because I realize it's kind of snowballed a little bit since we first originally thought.
Yes, it will, correct. And as Dr. Hollister shared, we're going to hopefully bring back, depending with our future, one of our future meetings, the whole feasibility study, some of the other things. We'll go over what's in the cap reserve fund, what we've obligated this project, what's the balance, and then looking at the next 2 years when our debt falls off, how we can put money aside, those types of things. So, yeah, this will all be coming out of the cap reserve fund.
Just so you know, there's reason our debt's falling off is we've been very careful. We did our Brecknock renovation with cash. We did not borrow any money for that renovation. We were able to pull that together out of capital reserve as well. So we save it, and then we spend it where it's most needed. No money borrowed for this project. No interest paid.
All right, any further questions? All right, hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. All right, we'll move on to reports. Mr. Rent.
One more.
Oh, I forgot the one there at the bottom there. That's right.
So this, I'll just give you a little brief. This is the resolution that we added. This is a resolution that does a couple of things that sort of outlines how the schools will operate. We were saying for the next 10 days, but I think it's more appropriate to say for the future or until further notice. I think the language we use is till further notice. This will see that our support staff members are paid in full, whether they're here or not. We will limit as much as possible support staff members being on site. This pays our teachers and administrators. We will lean on their professionalism and ask them to work on projects and work on their own activities and do some of their own research, sort of academic sabbatical, if you will. While they're home with their families, teachers will also be allowed to come in periodically if we need to worry about. I know, for example, in the agricultural area, they've got animals they've got to tend to. So we've got to make some logistical decisions about some of that. But this sees that everyone will continue to be compensated with the thought that we would like to keep everyone on board and carry folks through this this difficult time. Keep in mind, many, if not almost all, of our support staff members are local folks. They live in our community. They spend money in our community. They're members of our churches. They're members of our local organizations. So by supporting them, we're supporting the larger Elanco community, I believe. This also talks about some other items. So if you don't mind, I'll sort of cover some of the other pieces that we're going to save for the superintendent's report. Talks a little bit about online learning. We are going to investigate a potential for a bona fide online learning experience for our students. Should this go longer than 10 days, we would aggressively try to make it so that FAPE can be provided for all students and attempt at our best to conduct an online learning environment. In the interim, between now and then, we will encourage teachers to do school types of enrichment, you know, summer types of activities. We actually have a list of resources already that we encourage students to use in the summertime. We'll play off of that platform and encourage students to stay engaged. We have some logistical challenges with that. Students went out of here Friday. We told them to take all their belongings home, thinking we were going to close school for about a week. As it turned out, the governor made his announcement about 10 after 3 after our secondary students were on their way. And so we weren't able to get everyone everything they needed. At the elementary level, students in particular need their chargers, their cords to charge the computers. They don't have them because they're all typically bound up in carts. We need to disassemble those carts and work on a distribution network to get those cords out to students whose computers are probably dying already or will be soon. So we have some logistical issues to work out, even to do the enrichment type of activities. We also have hotspots ordered so that we can set up internet services for students who don't have internet service, which is pretty small. It's about 94% of our students claim to have access. So we do need to provide some hotspots, again, to make sure that we're offering FAPE, that no one's left behind. So we are looking at sort of a two-phased type of learning. As soon as we can get it going, we'll do some enrichment types of activities. We've got to be a little bit careful that we don't offer contiguous learning. In other words, learning that's last week we were working on this, so this week we're going to do this. We certainly can't hold students accountable for any of the work that we're providing them right now. We can't assess them. We can't make this work towards a grade, again, because we're not offering FAPE. Once we think we're confident enough to offer FAPE, we will be doing that. We will hold students accountable just as if they were here in our classrooms with assessments, et cetera. So that's the virtual school piece that I wanted to mention with that resolution. And that's all I had to say. The board is free to take that resolution up. Thank you.
Okay. Any other any questions in that? Two of our board members will have to recluse themselves on this vote. Brian and Gary.
Correct.
So.
Can we just clarify that this is, these are Elanco employees employed under Elanco, or did I, are they also other facets? It's just Elanco employees, correct?
Yes, correct.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Essentially, anyone who receives a paycheck from the school district will receive compensation, including our coaches, which was a good pickup by the board. Thank you.
Dr. Hollister, I have a quick question regarding probably something you may get into later when it comes to the education part of it for the students, but how all of that may or couldn't impact any of the seniors in graduation. Will you get into that later at all or at another time?
That's a great conversation for a later time. I have no idea what our requirements are going to be. I am very concerned about what education looks specifically for our seniors, especially if the governor or the Pennsylvania Department of Education says you've got to go to June 30th to make up time. That's going to really throw a wrench into the plan of a lot of folks. So it's probably too soon, Mr. Conroy, to even speculate on that, but it is on my radar.
Okay. I know this was specifically for the resolution, but I know you brought up the education, so thank you.
No, it's a good question. I'm honestly concerned about graduation at this point. So we've got a lot on the radar, a lot of things that we're watching. As everyone knows, this is evolving rapidly. Things are changing from morning to afternoon, and so we'll just have to see where we are down the road.
Okay.
Okay. Any other further questions? Hearing none, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded. Any other questions before we vote? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Johnson, make sure you note the recusers. Thank you.
All right. Now we will move on to reports. Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, we did have a brief meeting on March 11th. The primary focus of that meeting was to hear the audit report for the Bureau for the calendar year ended 2019. I'm happy to report that they received a stellar report with no findings. They continue to decrease the collection fee. It remains under 2%, which is great, which means that the district is getting at least 98 cents on every dollar that they collect. So it's they continue to do an outstanding job, and our money is safe and secure, and it's distributed appropriately. That's all I have.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. Ramsey? Okay, moving on to the Lancaster Lebanon IU 13, Mr. Urban.
The Lancaster Lebanon IU board met on March 11th. Under board actions, we approved the treasurer's payments of $8.7 million in invoices. Under business services, we approved four new or additions to existing contracts. Under early childhood and special education services, we approved four new or additions to existing contracts. Under instructional and technology services, we approved seven new or additions to existing contracts. And the human resources, we approved one new contract, and we approved the following personnel actions: 11 resignations, one termination, two retirements, 25 new hires, 18 change of salary or status, and approved three leave of absences. And that concludes my report. If anyone has any questions, I will answer their questions or get the answer for you.
Any questions for Paul? I know I just wanted to say a number of us had the opportunity to attend the IU event last Wednesday. That was a very interesting event. And interesting is probably not the word. It was eye-opening to see all the things that are going on at the different schools around the Lancaster Lebanon, the IU 13. And it was very, if anybody, I think it's what, held every 2 years or something like that. If any of the board, or whatever, the next time one of those comes up, can only strongly encourage if you can fit it into your schedule to go to that event.
Elanco had a fourth grade student who, I'm telling you, in my life of being around salesmen and working with salesmen and having salesmen present things to me, that young man has a career in sales if he wants it that very few could ever match. That young man is indeed a pleasure to listen to.
He was good.
And a credit to this community.
Yep. He was very good.
He was great.
Youngest kid. Like, we were the only ones who had young kids there.
Yes.
Young learners. Yeah, it was awesome. He was.
Wonderful.
He could sell you a bridge, that guy.
Yes. Yeah. In the desert.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Moving on to the Lancaster CTC. Dana?
Okay. I just have a couple of things. There was the Brownstown campus was awarded the Award of Excellence, one of eight CTCs in the Commonwealth. The early childhood education at Mount Joy, received the CDA Gold Standard Select Award, which I'm not sure what that is, but everybody was really happy. actually, the entire CTC just received reaffirmation of their accreditation for secondary and post-secondary, all three campuses. The public safety is still in the process. The other exciting thing is down at the Mount Joy campus, which is where our meeting was last month, we got to see they're building houses. There's like three, I don't remember if there's three houses or they're building, one house is actually completely done. Like, the students did it like from top to bottom, made the cabinets, you know, installed the floors, the electrical and everything. And that house actually sold in under 2 weeks. So that was exciting. And they just started digging the ground for the third house. House number three. I don't know if it's the third house. I'm sorry. I'm still learning everything. It's a lot to digest at the CTC. also, the other thing that they have working on is they're doing a new evaluation plan for, like, the course offerings. They're trying to look and see, because some classes, like welding and diesel mechanics, have, like, diesel mechanics have 25 slots and, like, 35 people on the wait list. And other classes have 25 spots but only 6 people enrolled in the class. So they're developing a matrix to look at evaluations of these classes and should they offer more sessions of it or less, or, you know, just to see how they can bring their class offerings into what's needed. That's kind of my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? All right, legislative. Of course, obviously, there's so much going on at the federal and state level as going on with the virus. So I did see there's some bills that kind of jumped out at me. The Keystone Exam opt-out, which is House Bill 1446 for philosophical reasonings. I thought that was an interesting thing that's being proposed. Another one, which is electrocardiogram for student athletes, that's Senate Bill 836, which, you know, unfortunately, there have been athletes at the college and high school level which have succumbed to cardiac arrest. So that's possibly a bill to keep an eye on. And the other one I saw, which is I thought was kind of mystifying, that House Bill 703, which would make the publication of school boards members' email addresses. I naturally assume when most of them are public out there. If you serve on a school board, you have an email address. I guess that's not true. Bob, you're shaking your head. Is that true? Or
you guys, we have given you school district email addresses. I can't imagine they can force you to provide your home email address.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking,
too. We are very kind in that we publish your telephone numbers, and we're not required to do that either. If you would like to change that, we can change that. But currently, your telephone numbers are published, and that's not required by law. We're pretty darn transparent here.
Yeah. And my experience is it's always better to err on the side of being very transparent than not the other way. And my many years in the board, I never had a rude telephone call from anybody or somebody stop in. So I have not. Maybe they're afraid to call me. I don't know. But more face-to-face conversations but not over the phone. Not over the phone. So, all right, any legislative questions? Hearing none, move on to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just two items of celebration, then one item that I want to talk about related to our school closure. First of all, congratulations again. Our elementary music folks are just knocking it out of the park. Tim Ball at New Holland was awarded about a $950 grant from the Music for Everyone Foundation. That's that foundation that operates out of Lancaster City. We have now, to date, have New Holland alone to date has received nearly $7,000 worth of musical equipment and items from that grant over the years. Tim, in this particular one, ordered 12 Aki Professional MPK Mini MKLL controllers. He sends a picture. But basically, the technology will open doors for more learners to create, expand, and perform and do some of the things in the mass customized learning environment that we can't presently do. So congratulations to Tim. His effort paid off. He submits the grant to Music for Everyone Foundation and was again awarded a nice chunk of change to further increase the experiences that our general music learners are getting. And then finally, in the good news, some of you have met Dustin Swanson. Dustin is a 220-pound weight class wrestler for us. He finished eighth in the state. He's an 11th grader, so we get him back next year. So it'll be exciting to see how Dustin does. But he did very well in the state wrestling tournament. So congratulations to Dustin Swanson, 11th grader here at the 220-pound weight class. The final thing that I have is we are of the many things that we were doing last week and throughout the weekend was trying to provide food to our students. We have become folks have become very dependent on us to provide good, healthy, and reliable meals to our learners. And we were able to provide 78 meals today already. My compliments to Jamie Lisey. Jamie is the director of the food service program. She worked all weekend long to make that happen. I mean all weekend long. And the frustrating part is the federal government really makes it difficult and nearly impossible to do easily. I have Mr. Ramsey talk a little bit about that, but you know, the bottom line was there are certain requirements that we have before we can just hand out food. And it's a federal guideline, and it's depending on who's considered in poverty or not. Jamie showed, we literally pulled up the map, and it's sort of a zigzag map that goes through New Holland based on the census from 20 years ago.
So the Franklin Street apartments don't even make the cut. So we weren't allowed to distribute food there. As crazy as that sounds, that's not a place we can actually deliver food. So we did some workarounds and we figured out some ways to make it happen. But we now believe that we can actually distribute meals legally and get our reimbursements to any family that needs it, not just our free and reduced lunch. One of the challenges is we're not allowed to identify our free and reduced lunch students publicly. We're not allowed to call them out. And so we've got to be careful even how we distribute. So the general idea is that we distribute food in a certain area and any of our students can come and sign up for that food. That way it masks who's our free and reduced lunch students. That was our way of, and so what Jamie had to do is she had to locate two places in New Holland that were within the zone of poverty. This campus is not, so we couldn't distribute the food from here, as silly as that sounds. So, but the way to get around it was she found a church and a library, and she's going to distribute food from there at this time. There's one school district that's using their buses to distribute the food to the free and reduced lunch, but that's identifying the kids. You can't, like, that's a violation of the ethical code that you have for free and reduced lunch. So compliments to Jamie Lisey, who's been here now for a couple years with us. You know, we didn't think we'd ever replace Phyllis and ever find someone to replace Phyllis. Well, we have. Jamie works just as hard and just as well and tries to keep it fresh for our kids and does some creative, fun things with the food and the menus, and she really is a delight. So congratulations to her. We're going to continue to push out more food. We found ways that we can even, if we have to, we're even going to feed students in the Pequot Valley School District if needed. So we can cover it all. Keith, anything I want to add, some of the specifics? Keith knows the rules better than I.
Yeah. Just to kind of clip, Dr. Hollis did a great job. You did a great job. Yeah, no, you did great. I just wanted to clarify that this includes all students, not just free and reduced, but also our paid students. So anybody can come, and we will submit for reimbursement. Also, would like to just share too, through our partnership with CrossNet, you know, they're also going to help us get some of the food into the hands of the needy and those types of things. So they're going to help to deliver some of the food, and Jamie's working very closely with them. But, you know, like Dr. Hauser said, this was not an easy process. You had to submit an application to be approved, multiple emails back and forth with PDE, and we finally got approval today. So we're pleased to be able to offer this starting. This will start on Wednesday.
Okay. That concludes Superintendent's report. The only other thing I would say is, really to you, Kyle, is stay tuned. I'm not sure what board meetings will look like in the near future. We will most likely, if things stay the way they are and we need to have a board meeting, we'll probably do it with a Zoom feature that would allow public comments to be sent in electronically. So we would still have to have a public meeting, so to speak. That's how PDE, for example, ran its announcements last week, and folks were able to comment, and the comments showed up there on the screen. So stay tuned. This is still evolving rapidly, and at this point, as of today, it really does look like worst-case scenario is sort of unfolding. Anything could change and go back the other way, too. But I do believe that we need to acknowledge the reality that we could be out of school for the remainder of the school year. And on that note,
okay, Mr. Thank
one announcement over here from Mr. Ramsey.
Sorry. Everybody has in front of them the resolution for the CTC. On the back side of that, you need to fill that out. Vote yes or no and sign it. If you could then, once you're done, return that to me. I need to submit that along with the other documents. Thanks.
Okay, any other further comments?
I just have a question. I don't know if we announced that we had an executive meeting.
I did at the beginning.
We did, okay. Just making sure.
Nope, no problem. That slipped by already.
Dr. Hollister, I got a question. Just a quick question on the lunches, which again, kudos to the whole team doing what you guys are doing for the lunches, but ultimately, is all of that come down to the funding when it comes to the guidelines that are out there as far as why we can or cannot do things in certain areas and in certain ways?
Two things, Brian, two things. One is we've got to be careful not to identify our free and reduced lunch students. So that's the biggest sort of rule that we're trying to follow. But yes, we are able, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Ramsey, we are able to provide food to all, as long as we're providing to free and reduced lunch, we're able to provide it to the larger population, and we will get reimbursed for that dispersion.
That is correct, and the eligible areas that Dr. Hollister referred to from the census is those areas that are what they define as 50% or more free and reduced lunch level. So, yes, and it is, but we're able to submit for 100% refund or funding for not just that area, but for the entire district, whether or not they attend our schools. And like Dr. Hollister said, somebody that's in the Peckway Valley area could come to us and receive a meal, and we can submit for reimbursement. So,
do we have any future plans of having additional sites like in Bowmansville or other areas?
At this point, we've received approval for those two sites themselves.
Got it.
If we decide to add any more sites that are in like an eligible area, which Jamie continues to look at and talk with individuals, we will ultimately have to then submit for that.
Got it.
That address to get approval.
Got it. But as I understand it, we can distribute food from the eligible areas, but that food can be transported to the areas that are, quote, not eligible. Yes, no?
Correct.
Yeah. So yeah, we could, correct. For example, partner with CrossNet, prepare meals, have CrossNet pick those meals up in the eligible areas and take them to other families. It when you see that map from the federal government, it makes no sense. It does not look like New Holland at all. But it's 20
years old. And that's why I brought it up, Dr. Hollister, was because if there was something, again, I mean, you guys, Jamie specifically in this case, is doing an excellent job, clearly. But as a board, if we needed to in this time, in this situation, with this crisis that's going on, needed to try to put pressure on somebody above from a board level to say, give us a break. We're doing what we need to do for our communities and reimburse us, even though we might be outside the lines a little bit.
Yeah.
Then maybe that's where, you know, we come in and understanding what you guys are doing are exactly what you need to do based on the guidelines. But you know me, so.
Yeah. Well, we're in your spirit, Mr. Conroy. We're trying to break the rules as much as we can to make it work without breaking the rules.
Yeah.
Right.
And just to jump in there, if you want to put pressure on somebody above, that somebody is the U.S. Department of Education, not the Pennsylvania Department of Education.
Well, and it would be Congressman Smucker really would be the person who would need to address this.
Real quick question, too. The food that we're distributing.
Thank you.
What do we do with, first of all, the leftover food? Is that good to save for the next day?
There's rules in place already about how many times you can offer food on a line. You can only reheat it one time, I think it is. Neil, do you remember from your days? It's one or two times you reheats and that's it. But we're taking orders ahead of time. We're not just preparing food. Okay. Families do need to sign up using one of several ways that we've advertised.
But are we potentially throwing away food? I'm just trying to figure out, like, do we have too many meals? Like, do we need to increase, in a sense, advertising or, like, letting people know that it's available? Or are we right about where we should be?
I think when the word gets out, we'll be making a lot more food. And it would be just like any other day. You always prepare a little bit extra, but we try to cut it close. Yeah. Yes. So there shouldn't be tons of extra, assuming people who sign up come and pick up.
So just to clarify, with the program that starts on Wednesday, there is no sign up and no application. So anybody can come. So she's actually making the food in hopes that, you know what I mean? So, and she's trying to incorporate things that, you know, will last a day or
two. To his question, how does she know? Like, is she preparing for like 1,000? Is she preparing for 100? Is she like, and what's happening with that food left over? And then I guess could the leftover be taken somewhere else to be redistributed somewhere else?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I know some schools, and we can do the same thing with food banks, those types of things. But what we're trying to do, I mean, I've talked with her today, and it's really hard to guesstimate that first day, but we're going to do the best. She's going to do the best she can with as minimal waste as possible.
Go ahead.
Mr. Ramsey,
I know one of the initial requirements was that the learner be present. Is that still applicable in the rollout that's happening on Wednesday, or does the learner no longer need to be present?
Yes, they must be present.
Okay. So, because yes. One of the things that was said was that some distribution of meals will take place via CrossNet or other resources. How does that work? Are they getting learners to those locations?
We have basically what they're doing is there are two options. One, the learners, we've talked with them. Jamie's talked with CrossNet and, you know, has given the option that those individuals that they partner with or are aware of, they could have them come to these two locations to pick up, or they'll give us a list of names, and then we'll make that amount of food for those students, and then they would come pick them up at the high school site, and then they would actually deliver it to those students.
Okay. Thank you.
Could you update us at the end of, say, Friday or something to see where we're at, how it's been going, and everything like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we certainly can send an email. I know I went over to Yoder's at lunchtime for myself and ran into one of our cafeteria ladies, and they said it was an emotional appreciation by the families. There were a lot of thank you notes written already, and that the ladies were moved and thrilled that they could provide such a service. It's a real need, and people are really appreciative. So. Sometimes out of bad occasions come great things, and this is one of those times. So, you know, we're here as a community resource. We always have been. It's just our mission is going to change a little bit temporarily. That's how it is.
Can I just ask you another quick question on that? Then would having the school be a location for distribution help in a big way or not necessarily?
We're not allowed to use the school. We're able to satellite it, okay, Brian. Are you saying would it be a lot easier to run from here? Probably. But then we got to be, since we're putting it, since it's drive-up service anyway, it's probably just as easy to do in the locations because people can't gather. So it's really a drive-by. And the way it's set up, it's all wrapped individual stuff. So it would be a little bit easier to do it here, but not significantly.
Okay, thank you.
I saw where he was going.
Okay, any further comments for the good of the board?
I just want to say I think this is really impressive. I think Elanco in general, just being a person of the community, I already knew all of these things just from the social media outpouring of how kids can get meals, which kids are eligible. I guess I can't compliment them enough. Everyone involved, it has been outstanding. I guess my hope is that surrounding districts kind of look at us and say, hey, we can do it too. I feel like we are way ahead of the game. And, I mean, just to use the new rubric, distinguished all around, I think our staff and everything that have come together have done an incredible job to make sure our kids' basic needs are met and fed. And I think, I guess I'm getting emotional. My Spartan Pride class of 2001 is just overwhelming right now. Like, this is really important, and where the importance is, I feel like we're meeting it head on, and I'm really excited. I'm really happy. Thanks.
Good. We all are. Okay, if there's no further comments, do I have a motion to close the meeting? A second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. We're adjourned.